Da Freer.
A Freer is, of course, a friar. One of the four, they were called mendicant orders.
Mendicant.
A mendicant is a beggar, basically.
Oh.
So it sounds more dignified to call them mendicant. In other words, they live like monks in Thailand, or, you know,
okay,
nowadays.
Yeah.
So they live off licensed begging. Mm. He's a licentiat, which means he's licensed to beg within a given area. So the idea is that they live off the charity of the people, and they are, but they're also, well, some of them, not all of them, but some are priests in full orders, and therefore entitled to hear confession. And that's what our chappy is.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a funny mixture of spiritual power and worldly impotence that you get with a friar.
Voluntary worldly impotence.
Well, yes, because you've chosen it. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Like at any day, you could just go, oh, bugger this, I'll get a job as a hat maker or something, you know?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Because sacraments are deemed, or certain sacraments are deemed to leave an imprint, a permanent imprint on the soul.
Of course.
Baptism, of course.
Yeah.
Marriage, which is why there was no divorce. Unless you were a king.
Yeah, okay.
Because you've been transformed by the sacrament,
okay,
and you can't undo that. And ordination, which of course is the sacrament of creating a priest.
Right.
So once you're made a priest, you can be unfrocked, which sounds a bit saucy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, strictly speaking, be unpriested.
Mm.
You're still a priest, even though you might not be allowed to practice anymore because you've been a bit naughty.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad I asked the question.
It's amazing how many, how enormous the, you know, the establishment of religious orders was.
Mm.
You had monks and friars and nuns. And a large proportion of the population of a country like England was actually, you know, religious of some sort.
There you go.
Religious meaning somebody in orders like this, like a monk or a nun or a friar. Well, nuns didn't get to be in orders, of course, because they were women, and you can't be a priest.
Mm, unless you have balls, right?
Well, you have to be whole in your stones.
Testiculum habit.
Yes, that's right. Testiculum habit et bone bene pendentes.
And they hang well.
They hang well. Big, ripe ones.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Ones you want to screws.
Screws.
Well, I don't. Yeah, that's exactly right. So, this power of absolute, I mean, just a sort of heads up here, this power of hearing confessions, of course, is very important because basically, as we discovered in Dante, and you know, standard Christian doctrine, you can't escape hell unless you are, you know, you've taken the Eucharist at least once a year. You can't take the Eucharist if you're in a state of sin. So before taking the Eucharist, you must go to confession. So everybody must go to confession at least once a year and be absolved by the priest. If they can't do that, well, if they don't do that,
you can lie though. You can say, oh, I just had some covetous thoughts about my neighbour's wife, but otherwise we're doing okay today, this year, Father. And
yeah, but you can't lie to God.
Mm.
That's the point. God peers into your bosom, which is very rude of him.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, okay.
And of course they believed all that, so they tended to not lie on the whole.
Apparently Blake took issue with a lot of Dante's theology. We can talk about this next week.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Interesting. Very interesting.
I will hold off.
So I should just explain to, because if you're not Catholic, you might not know this, but basically the sacrament of penance, which is the necessary preliminary to taking the Eucharist, which is the central sacrament of the Christian Church, the sacrificial, you know, eating of God's flesh and blood, unless you're a Protestant, in which case you're eating something else that reminds you of God's flesh and blood, his sacrifice. It's got three parts, basically. So the first is a feeling in you, a contrition of sorrow for the sin you've committed, and a turning away from it toward God. Contrition is good. If you couldn't manage contrition, if you're too coarse and lumpish,
attrition was good enough.
Well, attrition, yes. Yeah. And attrition, of course, means a fear of punishment of hell.
That's right.
So like a dog, you know.
We'll get most people there, yeah.
Yeah. Right. The dog's eaten your cake and it knows you're going to be cross.
Mm.
So
mm.
That brings you to the priest, and the priest confesses you, which means he hears all the sins you've done since you last confessed.
And then you do the penance? You do the...
You do, but yes, the next thing is satisfaction.
Ah, that's what it's called.
Or, well, it's sometimes called restitution.
Okay.
So suppose you stole a diamond necklace.
Yeah.
Yeah, as you know.
Let's be real. A first edition of Paradise Lost.
A first edition of Paradise Lost. Yes, who wouldn't? That's right. Then you've got to give it back, basically.
No. To hell I go.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the problem with Claudius. Claudius feels contrition at his murder of his brother.
Oh.
But he can't perform, and he makes a confession. There's no priest present, but he's confessing to God anyway.
God can
well, ultimately, you're confessing to God. It's not that God doesn't know what you've done.
The priest
God
just wants you.
Well, yeah. the priest helps you get past all the barriers to confession, which are things like our desire to think well of ourselves, our rationalization of our sin. Like Francesca in Dante, she rationalizes away her sin, so she can't really confess to something she doesn't believe is wrong.
Mm.
So the priest helps you see that it's wrong. He helps you get past your resistance.
Early cognitive therapy, yeah.
Yeah, in a way, that's right. Mm. But he's only a midwife.
Mm.
It's the confession is aimed at God. And as I say, it's not that God doesn't know. He wants you to acknowledge it.
Hmm.
That's the point of confession. Okay. Acknowledge your own sinfulness, your unworthiness.
Hmm. Feel it.
Feel it, yes. And then you've got to, yes, perform satisfaction. So if you can't give it back, suppose you stole a chocolate cake and you've eaten it.
Hmm.
What are you going to do? You can't regurgitate it. Well, you can, but...
Don't make them a new chocolate cake.
The baker isn't going to want it.
Ah.
Well, you can make them. Yeah, you can make them a new chocolate cake, but it might not be as good.
Okay.
You could buy them a new chocolate cake. But the point is that there will be cases where you can't make restitution.
So you've got to do something else.
You've got to be punished in a way. In the early church, the priest would beat you.
Oh, that's gross.
A bit gross. But that was felt to be socially unacceptable, and so it was commuted to all sorts of other things. Nowadays, I understand. Obviously, I've never been through this whole process myself. That you say, you know, 50 Hail Marys or something, and you tell your rosary beads.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound terribly onerous, does it?
No.
I suppose Hail Mary is actually Hail Mary, full of grace, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Catholic high school, bro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Oh, have we ever forgotten? I've forgotten. Okay.
My first attention was asking in year 7, but where are the dinosaurs? And I meant it. I genuinely was. I was 12.
Yes.
This was new.
That's right.
But where are they? And she thought I was taking the piss. Well. And today I would, but at the time.
You were guilty of curiositas.
Yeah, well.
And when you've done that, the priest gives you absolution. Ego te absolvo.
Okay.
And he does so in the name of God.
As you absolve, yeah.
Yeah, so God is really absolving you.
Yeah.
And when God absolves you, he forgets your sin.
Okay.
Which is weird because God is supposed to be...
God knows everything.
Yeah, I know, but he...
Okay,
but
he's a backup.
It's kind of double think, you know, yes. So
it's a black box somewhere with all the things God has forgotten.
That's right. So you are cleansed of your sin. And so it's crucially important because you don't do this, you end up being toasted on pitchforks in hell. You
well,
know?
We've seen it, yeah.
Yes, with burning things shut up your bottom.
Mm.
Nobody wants that.
No.
No. So what the friar has is an extraordinary degree of power, which is, of course, open to abuse.
And he's still fairly low down in society, so to speak.
Yeah, he's low.
Even if he has...
Well, he's got spiritual elevation.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating mixture, which we don't have any kind of analogue for now that I can think of. Not in the West, anyway.
No.
Well, we don't recognise spiritual power, do we, really?
No. Everything is secular.
Everything is secular, yeah. So, a frère there was, a wantoon and a merrier. A wantoon, he's just, he's lively, he's high-spirited, he has fun. But of course, as we know from Chaucer, from Milton, this word
wanton
was poised between, yes, exactly. So it's poised between an innocent kind of meaning, as when Eve has wanton ringlets, they're just kind of all over the place and rather attractive because she has that kind of dishevelé look. And wanton meaning disorderly desire, meaning lascivious.
So the translation here gives me pleasure loving, and that can be.
Oh, well, that's poised.
I just enjoy a nice walk in the sunshine,
or a piece of chocolate cake, or
some hanky panky.
Some rumpy pumpy.
Yeah.
Or hanky rumpy. Yes, exactly. And of course, that runs right through that ambivalence. And remember, of course, we're dealing with an unreliable narrator who only sees the admirable things.
Mm.
He's so impressed. He's impressed with everything. It's all wonderful. You have the feeling he doesn't get out much.
No. Well, it's his first Kentucky tour.
It is, yes.
Jeff.
Jeff. That's right, we're calling him Jeff. I think that's an excellent idea, yes. Yeah. A limitor just means as a friar, he's confined to a certain area.
Licensed. Yeah,
that's right. A full solemne man. Solemne. Solemn is the modern reflex of that. But it's not a translation exactly, because it can mean ceremonious, but it can also mean sort of party animal, you know? Oh, yeah.
I've got dignified or important.
It's more than no.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
What's that?
This is the Riverside.
Oh, okay. No, it has. The point is, yes, it can mean dignified and important, but it can also mean, you know, likes a good time.
Party animal.
Party animal, yes.
Okay.
In all the order of sure is none that can so much of dalliance and fire language. So this is stated as praise, of course, by Jeff. In all the four orders, there are four orders of friars. There's, you know, the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Grey Friars, and the White Friars, I think.
White. Gandalf the Grey and Gandalf the White, don't worry.
Okay. Well, that's probably where we got it from, isn't it?
Yeah.
But dalliance means, it means flirting.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just passing time by the water cooler, you know? And he sounds, he thinks this is praise of the friar. Perhaps he thinks, because, you know, the friar's job, a monk has to stay cloistered, except our monk, of course, isn't cloistered because he's an outrider. A friar goes among the people, ministers to their spiritual needs. So maybe Jeff thinks it's appropriate that he should also be gossipy and
chatty
and flirty.
Yeah, okay.
Flirty though.
I can imagine the social function this would have fulfilled, but also how it could have been so easily abused. You would have had some magnificently good friars,
exactly,
who did this the right way.
Yes, that's right.
And then some monstrous ones.
That's right.
Okay.
And in fact, friars had a reputation for being, you know, kind of randy bastards.
Right, you saw one on the street, you maybe crossed by if you're a woman on your own walking your dog.
Yes. Well, of course, Chaucer, nice lovable Chaucer, is on record as being prosecuted for beating up a friar in the Strand.
That's right. Yes. Good for him.
Good for him. Perhaps it's like the Fairy Queen, you see a friar, you go for him.
Like a Collingwood supporter.
Exactly. And of course, you know, if you're a friar, you stand out because you're wearing your friar's robe.
Yeah, okay.
You can't go incognito. He had mad the full money a marriage of younger woman at his own cost. Younger, of course, because...
Oh, the plural, sorry.
Plural, yes.
We've got the schwa.
The schwa, we've got the schwa on the end, yes, which of course disappeared. So he'd paid for many marriages of young women at his own cost. Well, isn't that generous of him?
This is a dowry? Oh, well, no, hang on. He got them pregnant.
He got them up the duff.
So and then he paid to get them
married off to somebody.
God,
to
I got
avoid.
Cynical.
Well, that's but you see, Jeff thinks, gosh,
isn't that nice of him?
Isn't that nice of
what
him?
What a nice fella.
Yes.
Oh, Christ, literally.
So, you know, to the discerning reader, there's not much doubt about this friar. We've had it established. But, you know, he develops the theme. And to his order, he was a noble apost. He was a fine, upstanding member of his order.
Mm. What does that mean?
And there may be a naughty little joke about
upstanding
members. Well, he doesn't use the word member, but yeah.
Order, post.
Post, yes.
Noble.
Full well beloved and familiar was he with Francolines, overall in his country. So he's well known among the Franklins are kind of rich farmers.
Ah.
They're not gentry at all, but they're rich peasants.
Yep.
With ideas above their station. So if you think about what the friar's supposed to be, and the friar's supposed to be ministering to the poor, the needy, the sick, the lame,
the
lepers.
Pregnant without wanting to be, yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I suppose he did. I suppose
well,
he got married.
Well, he does that.
Yeah,
he looks after
ministering to them. He ministers to
the unexpectedly pregnant. Yes, and with wealthy woman of the tune. Oh, he mixes with rich farmers and with worthy women of the town. That word
worthy again.
Yeah, you see how it's gradually as we proceed through the Jung prologue, it's creeping down,
and it's becoming more. Cynical and
yes because these worthy women are quite
worthy of a visit.
That's right, for because he had poor of confession. And now we see the power. That's a real power, the power of your eternal soul.
That's exploitative, isn't it?
Oh god, yes. You imagine?
Well look, God's only going to be okay with you if
yes,
you do for me a small favor.
We've got this new way of administering the sacrament. Aside himself, more than a curate is a sort of substitute vicar. It's just technical stuff in the medieval church. Well, we say curate, don't we?
Yeah, yeah.
A curate has cure of a parish. Cure means looking after, curare in Latin.
Heart, yeah. Mm. Okay, yep.
And also giving us modern cure, as in when somebody cures your boils.
There you go, my boils, yes.
Your boils.
Weekly current.
For of his order he was licentiat. Meaning, and that just means he's licensed to beg, so... It's not a big deal there. But I suppose it's also giving him the green light to mix with people, to mingle with people.
Ah, okay.
Right. Except he's supposed to be mingling, as I say, with the poor and the destitute, not with the rich and the...
Worthy ladies of the town.
Yeah, the fanciable ladies of the town,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So, again, he's, like the prioress and the monk, he's mistaken his... vocation, except see how we're getting more and more guilty. The monk's a bit of a bloke, isn't he? Really?
Yeah.
You know, he's Scott Morrison, this monk. Sort of.
Yeah.
But the friar, he knows what he's up to.
Yeah.
The friar is more cynical. So Yengen Chaucer is nicely discriminating these failures of well.
What would be fun is someone to rewrite this. And it's Jeff going through hell just after Dante's been through,
yes,
finding all
that's
of them
right.
in their relative circles.
It's Francesca, she was gorgeous,
yeah.
I tell you. And she was quite unjust to put it there, you know.
Such an opportunity for a crossover, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe that's what he was thinking as well, meeting all these people and hearing their stories. And
yeah, because he knew his Dante, as
yeah,
we know.
Well, yeah.
He translates a bit
there
of
must
Dante.
Be, he must have been thinking of it in this way.
I suppose
meeting
so.
Meeting these people and hearing these vignettes. Yeah.
Well, oh yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And misunderstanding a lot of it. I mean, basically, Jeff is a lot thicker than Dante the Pilgrim, because Dante learns.
Yeah.
He's got Virgil by his side.
Jeff doesn't.
Jeff doesn't. He's got nobody.
Okay.
He hasn't got a palmer at his elbow.
No.
Say. Think again, Jeff. Yeah, exactly. But you're absolutely right. That's where he got it from.
Yeah.
No question.
Clever. Cool. Mm.
Yeah. Full sweat till he heard a confession. Full sweetly he heard confession.
Mm.
I'm not sure that's an entirely appropriate way to hear confession.
Well, the next line is even worse.
Yes. And pleasant was his absolution.
Mm.
I mean, he was an easy man to give penance. He was an easy man to give penance, you know. Because we know what his penance was.
Yes.
We know what his absolution consisted in.
Yes.
just do this and you'll be fine with God.
Yeah, interesting.
Exactly. I mean, in a way, we should be horrified by this.
I am. But, it's also funny.
A distance of 600 years is also quite funny.
It's also, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. Of course not. Of course not.
Humans are humans.
Yeah. And corruption is endemic. Corruption in the medieval church, corruption in...
And any time you hold something to be sacred, it slips towards corruption.
Yes.
Because it has the opportunity to do so, which is
exactly.
What any religious... Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway, I could go on.
One word, Qantas.
It's an acronym even.
That's right. That's right. Yes, well, think of the friar as Alan Joyce. I wonder if that's actionable. Probably not.
I'll take it out.
No, I wouldn't. I don't mind.
Okay,
all right. It's up to you.
We'll see how frisky I feel on the day.
There is a wish to have a good pittance. A good pittance means, a good rake in from their charity, maybe the beggar. But again, the word. It could mean anything. Your pittance could be a handful of coins. Could be something else.
Yeah.
Could be taking it in kind, so to speak. And there is a wish to have a good pittance for unto a poorer order for to give is senior that a man is wellish give. To give to a poor order of friars is a sign that someone is properly shriven.
Mm.
Shriven means having gone through the whole sacrament of penance and been absolved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you then give charitably, and in a sense, there's a kind of genuine idea behind this. The idea that once you're shriven, you will feel a kind of charitable largesse. You might go out and give to the poor. But, of course, this is what he tells them, If you give me lots of money, it's a sign that you're okay with God because you're being well shrived.
Mm.
We don't use that word, do we? Short shrift.
I throw it about, but
do you?
I'm. Yeah.
Pops up in Hamlet a lot, of course. Cause
oh, yeah. And Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've forgotten. What's that?
Towards the end, we get the hermit comes and shrives his soul, so to speak. And
oh,
the word shrive
yes.
is used, but it's in this kind of weird pastoral... what is Wordsworth? He is a... starts with P.
Bucolic?
P-P-P.
P, oh, P.
Meaning he finds God in nature.
Oh, pantheist.
Hey, thank you. It's like this weird pantheistic...
I was thinking pederast.
No. But he uses the word shrive. It's got a Y. It's archaic.
Well, except that the whole thing is about sin and punishment.
Yeah, of course. of course. But it's not a traditional version of confession.
No.
Obviously.
Well, except that he goes around the world confessing to everybody.
Who will listen.
It's a compulsion to confess. Yes, exactly.
Yes. No, I mean at the end when he talks to this hermit person. But,
I see.
The hermit is monastic. And,
yeah.
So... And yes, the whole thing is confession.
Exactly.
The wandering Jew.
Quoth he, the man hath penance done, and penance more will do.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an extraordinary poem, though, isn't it?
Sylvie's heard it about 8 times.
We should do a podcast on that sometime. Mm.
We have a list.
We have a list. For many a man so hard is of his hurt, he may not weep, although him sore smert. So many a man is so hard in his heart, so hardened. And remember, it's a kind of technical term in theology. It means that you're incapable of repentance if your heart is hardened. God hardens the heart of Pharaoh, for example.
Mm.
Pharaoh, Buzirain. Or Busiris, sorry.
Yeah.
Buzirain is Spencer's. So that he can't repent. I mean, it seems a bit unfair to me.
I don't know.
Or, indeed, Dr. Faustus.
Yeah, of course.
My heart is hardened. I cannot repent.
Yeah, don't worry. It won't distract us.
That would be a fun one to do a podcast on, wouldn't it?
Faustus would be good.
Yes. And that would mesh very nicely with your whole...
The main
thrust.
Yeah.
Although I rather fear that, like a cuckoo in a nest, Spencer has...
Redirected? Look, it's called Off the Devil's Party. And in a way, we are, because we are turning away from the new focus of the institution
we
work within.
Yes, we are.
So it is satanic rebellion of some description.
Exactly.
But I mean...
We're saying, up yours, Jack.
I can pick up with those whenever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. So many he may not weep, although he's hurting him by him sore smerta. He's sore smarted. We still use the word smart, don't we?
Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people would get it. But
no.
You're smarting from...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course the German is Schmerz, is the standard word for pain in German, which is the cognate of smart.
Okay.
Therefore, instead of weeping and prayer, as instead of weeping and weeping, of course, is a good sign of true contrition. Because you can't fake it. I mean, well, good actors can fake it, but not easy. And prayers, ben moti of silver to the poorer freres. So that'll show that you're repentant if you give silver to the poor friars. Notice also, I mean, the way occasionally we get these bits of randomness which are important to remind us that Jeff is a very imperfect observer. He spots details, but he can't connect them.
That's right.
His tippet was aye far said full of cleavers and pinners for to even fire weavers. So his hood, he's got his hood at the back, and it's far said is stuffed, of knives and pins to give fair wives. Why is he giving fair wives to these women?
Well, why is he giving knives to women?
Well, a kitchen knife. I don't mean necessarily a knife.
Oh, as in to threaten them with?
No. These are gifts. Pins and knives and, you know, trinkets like that.
Oh, okay.
So he says, here, madam, have this lovely carving knife and this nice little pin for your hair. And would you like me to shrive you?
Yeah.
I've got my own technique for shriving.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically they're little bribes. And it's ironic, isn't it? Because, of course, he's meant to be living...
Yeah, of course.
Off
impoverished, so...
Yeah, impoverished, but he's not remotely impoverished. He's making...
Sell all of his pins and knives.
Yes. He's obviously making quite a good little living here at this... And certainly he had a muria nota. He could sing nicely, had a merry note. And why that comes in here, again, we don't know, because Jeff doesn't know, because he's just jotting random things down. Well, could he sing and play on a rota? So he could sing it there, an instrument. Of yeddingers, he bar utterly the priests. Of yedding, a yedding is a song. So he was absolutely the best at singing a song. Again, you wonder, is this really part of a friar's central mission statement?
Mm.
Probably not.
Mm.
But notice for Jeff, everybody is the best and the brightest and the shiniest and the newest.
Mm.
His neck a wheat, as was the fleur de lis.
Mm.
Now that's interesting, isn't it? His neck is white. He washes. He takes care of, you know.
Oh.
Yeah. Because, well, because he's a womanizer. He doesn't want
but
smelly and scruffy.
That it can be that noticeable that, oh, he has a clean neck.
He's got a clean... Yes, exactly. Oh, look. I
suppose it's medieval England.
Well, he must be king. He's not covered in mud.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, actually. Wasn't it? It was shit.
Yes. Monty Python, right again.
Monty Python. Well, exactly. Well, they were, you know.
They knew.
They knew.
Fleur-de-lis, that's a cock and balls.
Yes, well, I mean, not primarily. Primarily, it's the royal emblem of France. Of
yeah,
course.
But
it's also the big pointy thing up in the middle and two roundy things on the sides.
Yeah, and then you go to Versailles and all you can see is it rather ruins the experience, the artfulness of the place.
Like so many symbols, and as in Spencer always, you know, symbols are ambivalent.
Yeah.
They can point up or they can point down.
Mm-hmm.
The serpent can be, you know, the Ouroboros. It could be eternity.
Caduceus.
Yes. Or it can be, you know.
The devil.
The devil, yes. There too, his strong was as a champion. There too. That means also, moreover, but also in that regard. In what regard? He was as strong as a champion. Again, random. But does he mean, you know, he could keep it up for a long time?
Oh.
Is that the implication? It's a bit weird, a bit random.
Yeah, okay.
He was a champion swither. Do you know that word swive? Oh, well, swive doesn't really exist in modern English.
It's gone. No, yeah. Swive.
But swive, no, sweven. Sweven. The sweve means to fuck, basically. Oh. But it's a lovely word because it's mutual.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
everyone's engaged.
Yes, man and woman swive together.
Oh.
And most terms for this activity are highly patriarchal.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck is something a man does to a woman.
Yeah.
But it's also something that, you know, Alan Joyce did to Qantas.
Yeah.
It's not a friendly thing.
No.
Yeah. My wife was at she was a juror in a criminal case about somebody who shot somebody. It was clearly kind of petty underworld stuff. And there was a crucial bit of evidence in which, you know, person X had said to person Y, "We'll fuck him up and fuck him over." Now, what does that mean? I mean, what that meant, of course, was very much the substance of the trial.
Yes.
It doesn't sound nicer, does it?
No.
It doesn't sound as though they're going to take him out for a nice champagne lobster dinner and then, you know.
No.
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 Now, if you see, they'd said that in Latin, we'd know exactly what they meant. But in English, with these funny phrasal verbs.
Yeah, and context. So
context and tone of voice and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Intonation. Fuck him up and fuck him over. But you don't want to be part of that.
No.
But so that's why are we gone down?
Fuck, swive.
Oh, swive. Yes, swive is such a nice word because it means you come together, so to speak.
Mm.
Come together.
Union.
And we've lost it because the word is sweven in Chaucer.
Mm.
But we don't say swive anymore.
I feel like the youth have reclaimed fuck. To be something that is done together.
Well, you know what the Latin cognate of
hit, fight.
Yes, pugno.
Pugno, yeah.
Yes, pugilist. So, in other words, it's that whole idea that the man is, in a sense, assaulting the woman.
Mm.
And we still have
many years that must have been central to what was going on.
That's right. Well, you're right.
Yeah.
In our deep evolutionary past.
Mm.
It may not have been an entirely consensual process 100% of the time.
No.
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 But we still have that metaphor, you know, as in the word, the phrase knocking shop.
Oh, yeah.
He knocked her up.
Mm. Mm.
Bang! A gang bang!
Bang. Oh, God.
It's deeply depressing, isn't it? The way patriarchal thinking infects language and corrupts it at the root.
Yeah.
Actually, now we're on this subject, root is a good word. That's Australian.
Yeah.
I'd never heard root used in that sense before I came here.
Oh.
Oh. In one of my early classes.
Wombats eats roots and leaves.
Yes, exactly. But it's Australian.
Yeah.
But that's less aggressive, isn't it?
Oh.
I mean, they were rooting. It's a mutual thing, isn't it?
I think it depends who's saying it.
But when my earliest classes, 40 years ago, 42 years ago, I was late and I said, "I'm terribly sorry, I've just been rooting in the library." And for me, that was a perfectly normal way of saying, you know, like a pig looking for truffles.
Yeah. Academic pastime.
That's right. I had no idea of the Australian meaning.
Did they tell you?
Well, there was mirth and merriment.
Okay. That's good.
Anyway, back to the poem. Heck knew the taverners well in every tune. He knew the taverns well in every town. Well, okay.
Jeff's like, oh, he knows all the best pubs. Isn't this guy great?
That's right, absolutely. And every hosteler, every host, you know, barkeeper, and tapestra. A tapestra is a serving wench in a pub.
Ah.
A bar wench.
Ah. Mm,
ah. Exactly. Knows them. Better than a Lazar or a Begestra. Better than a Lazar or a female beggar. Possibly for the rhyme, the female beggar there.
Oh, okay, because he should know the lepers and the female beggars much better than he knows
yes,
the barkeeps because that's and their his, wenches.
Yes, because that's his vocation.
Vocation.
That stir ending means a female version of a er.
Ah.
So a baker...
Bakerer.
Baker, the female is Baxter. But you can see...
Oh, okay, sorry, yes.
You can see, do you remember me explaining the rule that said that vowels before single consonants were lengthened in
yes.
the penultimate position?
Yes.
So that when Baker was Baker or something like that, became A. But in Baxter, it's not because of the consonant cluster, so it remains the original A. So it's the same word, Baker, Baxter.
Cool.
And they're both surnames now, aren't they, interestingly? Occupational surnames.
Oh.
A spinster is a female who spins. A webster is a female who weaves. It's good, isn't it?
That's so many last names explained.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Huh.
Yeah. Spinster of this parish. That's another word we never use anymore, isn't it?
Spinster.
Well, it sounds...
I mean, kind of, again, patriarchal in a way.
I know.
Unless, the new thing is to tweet empty egg cartons at people. To be like, you're a childless old woman, you've got no eggs left, and therefore you're valueless to society. That is the kind of implication.
Good God.
It's either slut or empty egg.
This is depressing,
isn't it?
But this is young people.
Yeah.
Carrying on this tradition.
I mean, you're Andrew Tate fans and so on.
Yeah.
So
that's depressing.
Mm.
I have to say. For unto switch a worthy man as hair. Now look what happened to word worthy. The word worthy is sinking into the gutter. Yes, exactly. It's soiled. For unto switch a worthy man as hair, I call it not that as be his faculty. It wasn't suitable to his dignity, his bearing, his office, his to have with seeker Lazar's acquaintance, to hold acquaintance with lepers. Well, and of course, Lazar, leper, it could be anybody who's sick, I suppose, in a way.
Okay.
You know. I mentioned before, but when I used to live in Norwich, the local library was a 14th century Lazar house. I always felt just a little bit squeamish about, you know, taking books out. And
even though been sprayed with enough Glen 20.
in the interceding, 500 years. And now look again. See the way he is admiringly quoting the person. So there's a real tone of voice coming through. It is not honest. It is not avance. Now that's a speaking voice because you wouldn't write that. You wouldn't. You don't go in for those kind of repetitions in written language. It's not honest. It can't do me any good. Men of us, for to deal and with no switch pariah, to deal with pariah. Pariah means, you know, contemptible.
The filth.
Yes, the rabble, feralness. The scum.
Yeah.
Mm. Joe Sixpack. Yeah, that's exactly right. But you see, again, he's admiringly captures this defiant tone of voice as with the monk. And when the monk says, who shall the world be served? Mm-hmm. it might not avance. Avance, you know, it doesn't get you anywhere socially. Well, yeah, you're a fucking friar. You're not meant to be.
You signed up.
Yes.
Like, he literally signed up.
I know.
If you wanted to be something else, go be something else.
Exactly. You're not meant to be climbing the social ladder, you know?
No, it's in the job description.
It's in the job description.
Yeah.
That's right.
Being unhappy with your place in society or your lot in society when you signed up for that, and the whole point is that you're gods, you know, whatever.
Well, exactly.
I mean, that's the point. We're meant to realise this and say that there's something off here, Jeff.
Yeah.
Maybe stop making friends.
Exactly. Now, you see, you think of the nun, the first of our religious. She ended up in a nunnery, probably not really understanding that she wasn't cut out to be a nun.
That's right.
Maybe dumped there by her parents.
And she got some power out of it. She was able to kind of get some sort of feminine emancipation through this. Yeah.
She's without realising that this was kind of inappropriate.
Yeah. Understandable. Psychologically, you can see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's very understandable, but the point is he knew exactly what he was doing.
As in, we can sympathise with her. This is reprehensible.
Yes. Because look, think about it. What does it mean being a friar? Well, you've got this cushy position. You're guaranteed income because people will give to the friars. You don't have to do any work. You have this amazing power, which you can then corrupt because you're not in a monastery. You're not a monk. You're out there in the world. You can corrupt it to your own ends, but to get women to sleep with you. You know,
these are bankers. Real estate agents, we have analogues.
So, you know, you might well become a friar exactly knowing what you were buying into, which is a cushy number with lots of power and money, and you know, you don't have to dig up potatoes or herd pigs or something. You're just, it's an easy life if you are that kind of person. And if you don't care about your soul, because of course God isn't going to look very favourably upon this.
Yeah, you can understand the prioress, you can even understand the monk a little bit, but this is just,
he's a dickbag, exactly. But
quite literally.
Yes. But people became friars too for very good reasons, because they wanted to serve. And you know, a Franciscan is following the order of St. Francis, who wrote, in fact, the first poem in Italian.
There you go.
In the 12th century.
Socially, did they have a reputation that was more, oh God, a Randy Friar just walked in, or, oh, a friar's here?
Well, look, it's difficult, isn't it? It's think of policemen, you know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Will he beat us up or help us?
Well, that's right, and you don't know. Some policemen are genuinely committed to others.
The greater good?
Others are scumbags.
Yeah, okay.
Who are corrupt and vicious. And so, yeah, it's a bit like that.
Yeah, okay. That's a good comparison, policemen.
Yeah. But you can see how somebody might become a policeman because they like pushing people around. They see the opportunity for corruption.
Yeah, power.
When I first came again to Australia, I keep saying this, don't I? But there was a famous episode of Four Corners in 1980 called The Moonlight State. And it was all about police corruption in Queensland. It was devastating. It produced a royal commission. And there were huge ructions, and everybody was on the take, right up to the police minister, who was a horrible man. I've forgotten his name now. Friend of Bjelke Petersen.
Right.
He was vile. And the funny thing is, you looked at him, you thought, there's a corrupt man. Look at that face.
Yeah, we know which corner of hell you're going to.
Yes, exactly. And that was hair-raising, because everybody was in on it.
Queensland.
Not to offend any Queensland listeners.
No, I'm trying to offend you.
Well, there won't be any, will there?
Peter said that.
Anyway, so here he is, and again, it's that defensive tone of voice where somebody knows they're in the wrong, and they're kind of vociferously defending themselves in a way that digs them deeper into the hole.
Yeah,
it's not honest. It can't get me anywhere to deal with these rabble, you know.
Yeah.
The people that Christ
went among. Please, blessed are the meek.
That's right, exactly.
Not blessed are the wenches.
Exactly, and the rich farmers. But how with rich and sellers of vitae, but rather with rich people and those who sell food, because of course there's always you can scrounge a nice sausage or something. But overall there is profit shoulder ease. But you know, wherever profit should arise, profit could mean anything good that comes out of it, like money or other stuff, you know.
Couple of illegitimate children.
Something like that. Yes, exactly. But then you're careful to. He must be quite well off. He can pay for marriages for all the women he's got up the duff.
Mm.
Is that an understood expression?
Yeah,
up the duff.
No, yeah.
I thought maybe it was purely English.
I thought it was Australian.
Oh yeah. Well, there we are.
Yeah. You got to say it with the twang.
A twang. Okay. So, in other words, it's a good lurk, as they would say, being a friar, because you've got this guaranteed source of income. Mm. And of course, because not only does this power of confession get him rogered as much as he wants, but also, you know, with worthy men of the town.
He has the soul in the palm of his hand.
Well, and you know, all that stuff about, you know, it shows you're repentant if you give money to the friars.
Yeah.
It's a not very subtle way of a kind of extortion racket almost.
Genuinely.
I will give you absolution. I will send you off to heaven if you cross my palm with silver.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's
also an easy way out for those assholes who are doing terrible things every week.
Yes.
Like, oh well, I'll just give the friar an extra couple of coins.
Exactly.
They're
just
friars. What are they? Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Except God, perhaps. we don't know. But you see how actually, you know, this might have created a few extra friars, and I thought, wow, that's a good little number, isn't it? A cushy little number. Money, sex. Money for nothing and your sex for chicks for free.
Yeah.
Curtis he was and lully of service. And again, this is now laden with irony, which Jeff doesn't see. He was courteous. Well, no, because courteous means so many things. But it means behaving appropriately to people above and below you in the social order.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not interested in people below him in the social order.
Not at all.
Because, you know, you can't, profit's not going to arise from them. And you don't want to be fucking beggars, lepers.
No. Not unless you're a really good friar. Very nice
yes,
man.
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, I mean, it was a thing with utterly dedicated medieval saints who were dedicated to the notion that the world is a place of suffering and contemptible flesh and that you were yearning for heaven.
To go out and get leprosy on purpose?
Well, no, but they would kiss lepers. Yes.
Christ did that.
And lick their wounds.
Oh.
Well, quite. But that's the whole idea, you know. I know.
Okay. Gross.
Gross. Well, gross to us, God. Yeah. Then as the man nowhere so virtuous, so full of virtue. But again, such a lovely complex word.
It's interesting to see even here courtesy, virtue, yes, worthy, wanton.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Lowly of service, lowly of service. And again, that word service is beginning to acquire those.
Mm.
Because it's central to the whole courtly love tradition. The man serves the lady.
So that she will service him. Or he serves her. You know what I mean.
Yeah,
service
exactly,
will be done.
Exactly. Exactly. That nas no man where so virtuous. Notice the really emphatic triple negative. There was not, no man, nowhere so virtuous. And that kind of overemphasis draws attention to itself.
Mm. Nice.
I mean, in modern English we have the convention that two negatives are a positive, don't we? Is that we're mathematics?
He does not.
If I said this is not a film I should fail to recommend to you.
Yeah.
That would mean
I'd edit it. you should watch this.
Yeah, you should watch this. But then suppose I said, this is not a film that I should not fail never to not recommend to you.
I'd have an epileptic fit.
You'd need a pencil and paper to work it out.
Yeah.
And the truth is, language doesn't work that way.
No.
It never has done.
No.
This was an invention of 18th century school teachers.
Ah, that's right.
To make English more logical, more like Latin, more like arithmetic.
Yeah.
More like a school book exercise, you know.
Yeah.
Is she saying yes or no here?
It's context. It's, yeah. Okay.
So in fact, in and still in every other European language, double, triple negatives simply add emphasis.
Nice.
And in fact, it's built into French.
Mm.
Je ne le veux point. I don't want it at all. The ne and the point both mean not, essentially.
Mm. And don't.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, nice.
Mm. And the word virtue, of course,
manliness.
Well, yeah, manliness exactly of the wrong sort.
Yeah.
And effectiveness.
Yeah.
You know, he's working in this little scheme here, like a maestro. Money and sex.
It's relevant. Virtue, you know, manliness and this belief that, you know, if you spend yourself upon the ground, you will lose your manliness and your virtue, because they sort of thought that...
Well, spend it anywhere.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah.
If it's not fruitful. That's back. That is in weird podcast bros on TikTok. They're telling people, and there's no science behind it whatsoever, but the way they say these things trick young men, and they say, well, your hind brain thinks that every time you ejaculate, you're producing people, and so anytime you wear a condom or she's on the pill, you're tricking your hind brain, so you're actually losing your manliness and ejaculating all the time, and losing that opportunity. And it was someone taking it apart and analyzing it, but I was struck with was, we're back to that idea that if you that A, your manliness is in your sperm, and B, if you spend, or you don't know, lose too much of it, as if it doesn't just refill constantly,
that's right,
that you'll lose manliness.
Yes.
And it's bizarre. I'm like, are we back to a kind of animal brain? Are people so uneducated now that we've returned to this?
Well, exactly,
but,
exactly.
Yes,
the idea is you're born with a finite amount of the stuff and you spend it.
Yeah.
That word spending for ejaculating or orgasming, is there such a word, was current English up to the middle, late 19th century.
How interesting.
He spent.
Yeah. Wow, gross.
I know.
Anyway, it's back.
It's back.
And
isn't
apparently
that crazy?
Quite popular amongst that kind of like hyper masculine.
Yeah.
Joe Sixpack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Women
maybe
are just vessels.
Maybe that's somehow deep in the psyche. And
I think
just,
so, yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a cultural
There's
thing.
This anxiety that if I'm not doing
it's
it
an
for...
It's anxiety.
If I don't have the control to be able to make
yes.
her pregnant, then it's all pointless. And
it's part of the anxiety.
Her pleasure
yes.
is... It's, yeah, some
it's
deep
part,
shit.
Well, it's part of that anxiety that lies behind patriarchy, isn't it? Which means patriarchy runs quite deep.
Mm.
Because that whole notion that, you know, that women are evil creatures who will suck all your goodness out
yeah.
of you. And you know, the female vampire in the 19th
yes,
century, the gothic
succubus.
Female vampire, the succubus. And, yeah, exactly. That's
I could just see hundreds of years of literary history and this one idiot on a podcast going, it's like, whoa, it's back in its new form. And it must be just a deep psychological thing.
I think it is.
In idiots.
It's a fear. It's a sexual fear of women,
So you must have control, must...
Yeah.
But this is now teaching a generation of young men that if they... If you're using any form of contraception, that they're losing their manliness during sex, which...
That's... Oh, God, I don't know.
How do you raise a young woman in that world?
Yes. I know, that's deeply... Wow.
Yeah.
You do plumb the depths, don't you, a bit?
Me?
Yes. Well, I mean, in the sense that you discover these things.
Well, they just roll past, I'm scrolling through, as we all do.
Yeah.
And this was someone, it was someone analysing this. It was a psychologist breaking this down.
All right.
So I saw kind of a different...
Yeah.
But then I saw the original in order to see this happen, and then, yeah.
So, I mean, I think this is, I'm sorry, this is terrible.
I think it's relevant.
It is relevant.
I think it's relevant.
But it shows perhaps that, a Marxist would say that patriarchy arises out of economic relations and so on. It's an assumption that men own and women are possessed.
It's monkey brain.
But, yeah, look, I think it goes deeper than that, doesn't it?
It's monkey brain.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Because
we just have different versions of it. And Andrew Tate is everywhere, so it's just... I don't go looking for it. It finds,
It finds you. But you do find it.
I think if you're on social media, it comes across. It's like I've started getting, my algorithm started sending me good Christian farm lady stuff. I'm like, whoa, what have I looked up on Google that makes it think that I want this crap? It's like... Today I served my husband by blah, 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 or day in the life of a Christian. I'm like, whoa, not for me. Thank you.
Oh, God.
Anyway, the algorithms, they're out to get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Virtue.
Okay, virtue.
He was the best beggar.
He gets the job done. I mean, and again, it actually sounds really good. You get money, sex, and power.
Yeah.
That's what people want.
Yeah.
He was the best beggar in his house.
Which just means that he's the best at making money.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's again, Jeff has got the wrong end of the stick.
He's not even got all of the stick. He is flailing. Yes, is this right. A stick I see before me? I don't know.
That's right.
Oh, what an idiot.
And Jaffa certain... Are set on firm for the ground, none of his brethren come there in his haunt. That couplet is cut out of some of the later manuscripts of Canterbury Tales.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it was cut out by Chaucer, but basically it just means he actually paid money for the license to beg. So this isn't honest begging. Oh God, I'm starving. Could you?
Oh, this is Orwell's Down and Out in Paris and London. He wasn't actually, he had a rich family. He could have gone home at any point. I know what will make some good storytelling.
but also, it's a good lurk.
Yeah.
It's worth paying money to have the license to beg.
Yeah.
Because, you're part of the church. People give to the church because it saves their souls. It just takes the whole lid off the whole notion of holy poverty.
I know.
Your blessed holy poverty, which is what...
Mika the...
Yeah.
Not that poor friend.
Blessed are the poor.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And the whole idea that, that Protestantism overturns, that the poor are specially loved of God. There is special care. Whereas, when you get to the idea that prospering in this world is a sign of spiritual success, then, of course, the poor must be outcast of God, must be despised.
Well, we're back to neoliberal.
Back to neoliberalism,
absolutely.
None of his brethren come there in his haunt. So none of his brother friars would dare to beg in his
area.
Is there,
this is
turf.
Just a gang war.
Yes, it's a gang war. It's like the mafia, this is my turf.
Yeah.
You come in here, I'll see to you, Jack. I'll fuck you up and I'll fuck you over. That's right. For... Och, a widwe had a nocht to show, So pleasant was his in principio.
In the beginning.
Beginning with God, John's Gospel.
Yeah.
But it was also, it was kind of like a bit of magic Latin.
Okay.
You know? He probably has no idea what it means either. But Latin has a, you know, if you don't understand Latin, it's got this kind of magic feel to
well,
it.
All of the spells in Harry Potter are Latin.
Well, there we are.
Pretty much, or Greek or something.
There
yeah.
we are,
Lumos
yes.
means turn the light on.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. You know, this is why people were so upset in the 60s when Vatican II turned the Mass into the local vernacular from out of Latin.
Oh, because it sounded less magic-y.
Yes. Exactly. And of course, the whole idea that, that the Catholic priest was performing a kind of magic was, or giving the impression of poor magic, was one of the charges of the reformers.
That's
the
right, yeah, because they're worried. Witch man.
Witch man, exactly. So, though a widow didn't have a shoe to her name, so pleasant was his, so charming the way he says, in principio. He's kind of singing it, I suppose.
Okay.
Yet world have a farthing ere he went. He would have a farthing before he went. A farthing was...
So even though the widow walking by had nothing to give, his pretense...
Well, I think he's probably knocking on doors.
Singing, okay,
he,
yeah.
He doesn't sit on the, you know, like...
okay, in
like
principle.
The people in
right, she gives him something because he's so...
Well, because he's charming.
Charming.
And
he's the vacuum salesman.
Yeah, but...
All right, I'll buy something.
Yeah, exactly, and he speaks Latin, which is a bit like the vacuum salesman blinding you with the science. This is the new Dyson X57000B.
Yeah, it'll with, clean with, your home.
Exactly,
with,
it'll,
yeah.
put, it'll put out the cat, it will...
Right, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay, this is still with
oh,
us.
Oh, exactly. It's also recognisable, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, people think the Middle Ages is weird and other
yeah,
and
people
strange.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, no. This man, he'd be a good door-to-door salesman.
Honestly, and the average punter today probably isn't that different from the average punter
no.
back then.
Oh, God, no. Credulous.
Yeah.
I mean, hell. What we've seen since 2016.
Yeah.
Doesn't give you much faith in the average punter.
No.
It's, yeah.
We're in a post-truth world.
We are. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Damn it, there was something I wanted to say. There. Never mind.
Average punter, father, what...
Yeah, what?
Shoe.
Oh, no, I was thinking of door-to-door salesmen, because, of course, most students nowadays have never seen a door-to-door salesman, have they? It's all on the internet.
I mean, I've seen it on TV, like in TV shows.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
I don't know, yeah.
The Witch or something.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
something.
Something. Well, it's... When I used to be, you know, explain the idea of moral behaviour, the Renaissance, is essentially a matter of vigilance. I used to use the example of, you know, don't buy the set of encyclopedias from the door-to-door salesman. Read the smart fine print, you know.
Yeah.
Come back
well,
later.
Well, now it would be don't buy the Instagram.
Yes.
The thing that you're being marketed.
Yes, exactly. Or Facebook or
yeah.
whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
I suppose so. You're right. You're
yeah.
right. Yeah.
We have, there's a new version. There's always a new version.
What's a new version? But I think, you know, our students have never seen an encyclopedia in the flesh.
Well, you would have seen in our place. I have three sets.
Oh, yes.
Because I have
lovely.
Both grandfathers. Yeah.
Lovely. Yet will they have a farthing, he went. A farthing is a quarter of a penny, which sounds like a tiny amount. They still existed in my childhood.
Yeah.
You could still use a farthing. I don't know what you could get with a farthing, but you could buy something.
With
and of course...
Song.
A song?
No matter. There's a song about farthings. There's
oh,
a yeah. children's nursery. No, never mind. No, carry on.
Oh, no, there will be. Yeah, probably
I don't
is.
Know if people might know it. Yeah.
A farthing means a fourth of, a fourth thing
yeah,
of a
gotcha.
Penny. Yes.
A quarter.
A quarter. Yes, exactly. So a tiny sum, but not a tiny sum to the widow.
No.
Because, you know.
His purchase was well better than his rent.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. His purchase means something like his fraudulent.
What his
gettings,
gains?
His
gains are better than his rent.
But
his
legitimate income.
So it's not it's not genuine begging because he's asking for more than he actually needs.
Yeah, he's like Al Capone, you know. He's got a legitimate income, but he's also got his
underhand
income, which is much better. And Raj he could, as it were, richte whelp. Raj gives us, of course, modern reflexes, rage, but in fact it means party.
Okay.
As it were, richte whelp, as though he were a puppy. Again, randomness from Jeff.
Okay.
It's as though he can't, I said, I can see Jeff carrying out a notebook and he scribbles random thoughts in it. Oh, he could really throw a party, this chap. Like a puppy, you know. The other weird thing is that, again, if I go back about 40, 30 years, the word rage.
Or the rage, or the party, or the...
Party, yes, it meant party. They were raging till 3 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, that's still kind of...
Is it still current?
Yeah, I think people would recognise it in context.
But isn't that weird? Because it didn't mean that, you know, when I was younger...
Yeah.
So it's kind of come back from the Middle Ages.
Interesting.
Yeah, really interesting.
Still good? She's still good?
All good. So in fact, weirdly, that line doesn't need a gloss for a modern student.
Well, probably does.
I suppose so.
Look, I make fun of them, but as a first year, I wouldn't have got any of this either.
No, of course
I've
not.
I've been educated.
Good. Well, that's what we're here for.
I have worship.
It's our PD, isn't it?
Mm.
In love days, there could be mutual help. A love day is a lovely idea. It's
go on.
Well,
twitch yourself.
Well, a love day is a day set aside to solve all sorts of civil disputes and problems. Oh. Not going through lawyers, but by talking it out, by getting the help of a priest, the impartial priest, who of course has no interest in the matter, theoretically,
okay.
Or monk or friar. And so, you know, the argument, you know, my fence post should be here, but you say your fence post is there. And the priest will sort of say, well, then maybe we could compromise and put the fence post there or something. Or maybe you could keep your cat in at night and he might eat his chickens, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
So a love day is actually rather a nice idea.
Were they putting the calendar and everyone came? Or was it?
Yeah. It was a standard thing. We should have them back. Instead of paying lawyers and getting all bitter and, you know. And
I could sort my neighbours out in half an hour. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. In fact, what the mafia call a sit down.
Ah, yes. Have a sit down and. Yeah,
yes.
Okay. I was hoping you were going to tell me it was a self-care day. Love day. I'm having a love day. I'm eating cheeses on the couch, watching X-Files.
Now, that's a nice idea, but it would have a different name, I think.
Okay.
but you see, he could much of help. Of course he could, because, again, there's something in it for him. He's going to take, one party's going to say, Mr. Friar, if you can persuade that other lot to do something like their blasted cat, then, you know, there's a little bit of...
If you could make my neighbours...
Yes, exactly.
...disappear.
Sorry. Yes, that's the mafia.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, he sees everything as an opportunity for gain. Essentially.
Mm.
even this lovely tradition of the love day where...
That's so funny.
Yes. But I agree, bring it back.
It would solve a lot of bullshit.
Whatever happened to it? Yeah.
I mean, probably the government took it.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Lawyers, yeah, I don't know.
Lawyers don't like it at all, of course, or didn't like it.
They would prefer to make money.
Yes.
Mm.
Mm. Well, Bleak House...
Perhaps they realised how corrupted it had gotten.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I suppose so. But once you got rid of Friars, you could have brought it back, couldn't you?
Would they not have just corrupted the new version? Oh, I mean, I who's the so. Person? Whoever that person is going to
Yeah, slip. Everything turns to corruption because human beings
are
human fallen creatures.
We are.
Wallowing in the mire of... sin.
What do you call it? The dunghill of iniquity.
The dunghill of iniquity, yes.
Mm. I use that phrase at parents' group.
Oh, really?
Nothing. Which is why we're not going today, I don't think. Oh, we might.
For there he was not like a cloistra with a threadbare corpus as a poor scholar. He wasn't like a cloistra, a monk, you know, shut up in a cloister, with a threadbare cape, like a poor scholar, as though these are things to be despised. Yeah. When, of course, the whole idea of, again, holy public, or of living for the life of the mind and not for the life of the flesh, was somehow contemptible.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't one of those. But he was like a Meister or a Pope. He was like a master or a pope. And popes, of course, are notoriously...
corrupt.
Yeah, well, corrupt.
Randy dickbacks.
Corrupt Randy, and generally fat, too, because, you know, they're living off the fat of the land.
Yeah.
So popes are not going to be thin and ascetic-looking and, you know...
And ironically, not super spiritually healthy.
No, no, on the whole, not, no. That's why Dante's hell is full of popes.
Full chock-a-block. Yes. Popes wall to wall.
You couldn't throw a brick without hitting a pope. Exactly. Of double worsted was his semicorpus. You see again that we suddenly go random again.
Is that, like, it's just a really fancy cape?
Yeah, and it's...
And it shouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's of double worsted fabric, so it's expensive. He's not dressed like a cheap friar. He scorns that. That rounded as a bell lute of the press. Isn't that a gorgeous line? Rounded as a bell out of the press. It's kind of... It's like a sort of a bell. It's got the bell shape. Rounded. But rounded is also related to the word for whisper.
Okay.
And, well, what do bells... tell you.
Oh, the whisper of the bells.
Yeah, the bells whispered, well, they say rather loudly, they say, come to church, be devout, get on your knees.
Do they? Okay, well, get on your knees.
Well, church bells.
Yeah, right, yeah. Okay.
In other words...
they call you.
I guess if you
don't hear...
He's not hearing it. He can't hear the bells calling him.
And before modern technology, you wouldn't hear... sound the way we hear today. Like, the bells would be something that punctured the air.
Oh, God,
whereas
yes.
Now we have aeroplanes and we have train lines and we have music and we have boost juice.
Yes, things. That's right. I mean, you would hear bells because they carry
for
a long
miles,
way.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know the whole idea that a Cockney is somebody born within the sound of bow bells.
Within the sound of?
Bow bells. But
off
the church
bells.
Of St. Bow.
Okay.
Well, the bells of St. Bow.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Right.
If you can hear those, and you're born where you can hear them...
You're a Cockney. Okay.
Well, you know the old rhyme, oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So it's a very clear message, and it says, come, be humble, be a good Christian, worship.
Yeah, and I guess
everything
they're whispering on the breeze on a Sunday, calling you down there,
yes.
Whereas you're like, no, I have to farm the paddock, no, I should go to church.
Exactly. And it's just like, remember the monk... His harness bells jingling and a whistling wind is clear, and acres lewd as doth the chapel bell.
Yeah.
So again, it's a lovely touch.
And the noise is, it would be hammering in the blacksmiths and the sound of the docks and, you know, crappy noises. The bells would have sounded beautiful.
Yes. And people shrieking in the street because everybody's selling you something. They're selling you hot tapirs, hot pies, hot... is a phrase that comes in the general prologue.
Yeah.
So everybody's shouting. A bit like in Blake in London, you know.
Yeah, well, that's
every
exactly
cry of every man.
Yeah, and every infant's cry.
I fear, yes.
Yeah.
So the streets will be very noisy. It's as though all advertising was concentrated into a human voice shouting in a Darwinian way louder than the next man. Because you've got to, you know.
Yeah.
Buy my fine... muslin or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever
they're
selling.
Chestnuts,
yes.
No, interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. Okay,
yeah,
church
yeah.
bells, important.
So they were the noisiest thing you heard, and the rattle of coaches' wheels. But church bells are clear and they penetrate that, haven't they?
And that would have sounded pretty.
Mm.
Which is important. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Musical.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. There you go.
But he can't hear it. That's the point. Or he doesn't want to hear it. Somewhat he lipsed for his wantonness. So he lisps for his wantonness. He thinks, and lots of people did think, that lisping was sexy. Which is a bit weird, isn't it? And I said... And I know. But so much so did people think it was sexy that people would lisp when they didn't need to, when there wasn't a speech impediment.
Right. I'm sure there are modern equivalents.
Well, there are. Well, I can give you 19th century equivalents.
Okay.
In the 19th century, aristocrats often wouldn't, again, to distinguish themselves, and also to sound a bit sexy, they wouldn't pronounce R properly. It would come out as wah. So, sir, you are a water. Which, again, Monty Python comes to our help. Remember, he wanks as high as any in Rome?
That's what that is.
That's what that is. It's a 19th century affectation of speech impediment for the purposes of A, establishing your rank, because only aristocrats talk
and
like
to
that.
And to seem attractive.
And to seem attractive, to seem a bit sexy.
Oh, that's funny. He wanks as high as any woman, but yes. Obviously he's also the wank thing. Yeah.
Those films are quite kind of erudite in many
ways. Well, they're incredibly educational. Yes. So we will be raised on them.
Exactly. In fact, what they should do is, when you go in, they should hand you a page of footnotes.
Well, yeah.
Now read footnote 3 on page 2.
I need to check with Ange whether she's watched it yet.
Oh, but she must. She has to watch it.
She'd have a film night.
I think with Life of Brian, she probably fears that it's a bit blasphemous, you know. But
it's pretty on the money.
Well, they're taking the piss out of it, but they're not directly taking the piss because it's about, you know, Brian. It's not about Jesus.
Yeah.
Poor old Brian.
Poor Brian.
I love the moment where he loses a shoe and they all say, we must all walk in one shoe like the leader.
Dear.
Okay, sorry folks, that was a detail.
Go and watch Life of Brian again.
Go and watch Life of Brian.
This is your reminder.
Exactly. Oh, the one more example of this.
Yes.
Because it's actually not uncommon. In the 17th century in France, aristocrats would put, instead of producing the normal kind of trilled or flapped R, as you know, the trilled R is like royal, or the R that we use in English. They would use an uvula. You know the uvula? If you open your mouth wide in a mirror, you can see a little pendulous blob hanging at the end of your... So it's a... Le roi. Can you do that?
No.
Well, I'm sure you can. You've got the equipment.
12, 14 years of Italian still couldn't roll my R's.
Oh, no, that's different. It's made with the trim tongue. R.
No.
No, it's not a trill bar. It's a, at the back of the mouth.
No. Yeah, okay. Funny.
Frère Jacques.
What's the equivalent today? What do we pretend?
But the funny thing is, though, you see, that this then took over. It's now standard French. And it even seeped into Germany, and it's now standard High German.
There
you go. Give you a uvular R. Well, in fact, it was a speech impediment. It was a kind of... But it sounded sexy. And to be quite honest, it does kind of sound a bit sexy.
No worries. Whatever you're into.
Chaka as son goût.
Whatever.
Maybe everything French sounds sexy. That's the thing.
Oh, see, French to me is... Yeah, no.
Really?
Well, I don't know. There is now kind of the idea of, like, oh, the dirty, randy Frenchman, you know?
Well, that's... It's missing a lot of French culture in a row.
Obviously. But I think that's, yeah. Same as Italian. It's like, you know, there was the sexy Italian man and that's gone now. It's like, ooh.
It's gigolo.
Yeah, it's almost like, oh.
J'aime le son du corps le soir au fond des bois. That's a bit of French romantic poetry.
Oh, yeah.
I love the sound of the horn in the evening deep in the woods.
I mean, that's lovely, but... Yeah, no, it's almost considered a bit dirty now.
Nous naissons, nous vivons, bergère, nous mourons sans savoir comment. Chacun est parti du néant. Où va-t-il? Dieu le sait, ma chère.
I got no French.
That's that. Oh, I see. That's zero. Voltaire.
Ah.
We live, we were born, we live, shepherdess. He's calling her shepherdess. We die without knowing how. Everybody has come from the nothingness, the void. And goes where? God knows, my dear. And of course,
is that a bit of
that's Voltaire's joke? You know, when he says "God knows,"
oh, God knows.
It's like, yeah, oh, God knows. But in fact, of course,
God knows.
He doesn't really believe God knows anything because he doesn't really believe in God.
Nice.
But it's lovely poetry.
Okay.
French poetry.
I thought that was coming around to bees do it, so we may as well.
Oh no.
Yeah, no. That's good. That's better. Right. Yes. Anyway.
So he's lisping to sound sexy. And again, it's part of his strategy of, you know, he's a womanizer.
Mm.
Except he's a friar, which makes it a bit odd. And then he's harping, when that he had sung, and I love this line, his e'en twinkled in his head a richt, as dawn the stairs in the frosty nicht. In his harping, playing the harp, when he had sung, his eyes twinkled in his head like stars in the frosty night. Isn't that...
I feel like Jeff's, you know, got a crush.
A man crush.
Yeah, well, he might just be a crush, you don't know, could be bi.
could be. Yeah, Jeff swings both ways. Yeah, but isn't that wonderful? His eyes twinkle. He's charming. His eyes
dodgy,
twinkle.
Though. Twinkling is dodgy.
It's dodgy. And it's cold as the stars in the night. So it's not charm. It's something utterly manipulative.
It's calculating. His eyes are calculating.
And I think there's a real sense of a kind of a lost soul there. So you're peering into his eyes. The eyes are the gateways to the soul. You're seeing a dead soul.
Mm.
So he's on the...
He's got the call to God. He's meant to be working for him.
And he's on the express train to hell.
Yeah. And because he is not treating people as other people. This is the complete opposite of charity, caritas,
yes.
It's all...
Well, he couldn't be more opposite,
love.
Really.
Yeah, no, he is corrupting the entire person.
He's almost the Antichrist.
Well, yes. The anti-friar.
So that's a rather sinister way to end, that almost glimpsing his damnation through his eyes.
But Jeff... As the pup, he's just a puppy. It's that's fun.
Yes.
Next.
Oh, he's so charming.
And the rest of us are stood there going,
that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's like a puppy almost getting hit by a car. Just pounding.
Yes, because the idea of stars twinkling in the night is very pretty.
Yeah,
you know?
Bright stars, it buses they're out. Yeah.
But when the implications sink in, the coldness and the depth and the nothingness.
Yeah, you're alone. In the wide, wide sea.
Yes. It's a brilliant line, that. He's a wonderful poet, Chaucer.
He is.
And the trouble is people don't read him because it's slightly difficult because of the language.
And you need so much context and history.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, where do you even go to put it all together? Not everyone has a Peter in their back pocket sort of thing.
This is true.
Peter the person, not Peter
the
bread.
Yes, you'd sit on it, wouldn't you? It wouldn't be very appetizing. And then look at this random ending. This worthy limiteur. Again, the Jeff voice comes back. Was Cleb Two Bird? Okay, his name is this worthy. And see how the word worthy has now been soiled.
Yeah, completely.
It's almost gone on a journey from the first time we hear it without the night.
Which is complicated, but you know.
Yeah, but here it's just almost a term of abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
This worthy limiteur was called Hubert.
Hubert. Call your dog Hubert.
Yes, Hubert. Yes, yes.
It'd be kind of a Randy Pitbull or something. Call it Hubert.
Interestingly, in the Roman de la Rose.
Yes.
There's your R again, the Roman de la Rose.
Ooh, okay.
There's a kite called Hubert, or Hubert. You know, kite?
Bird.
Yeah, bird of prey.
Ah.
A sort of a low-grade bird of prey. The eagle is a high bird of prey.
And then Hubert will just get whatever mice are left over.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But he's basically preys on people.
Mm.
He's a...
Nice.
Yeah. So... It's a brilliant portrait.
Right.
Right. Now, next we have...
I reckon we can do the merchant.
We can do the merchant.
Only a bit. Yeah, let's
do the merchant's quite short.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Well, we spent... we've done an hour and a half on the...
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
But you have
it's
to...
It's important. And if we're not doing every single story, this is a nice introduction.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we can.
No. We'll be here for...
Yeah. Again, I'll have six years. Children. Yes, exactly. But isn't it... This is the whole point. This is why you can't teach literature in these little bite-sized chunks.
You have to luxuriate. You have
exactly.
It's also now such a. It's almost classist in a way because you have to have the time and the leisure. Well, I mean, scholar leisure. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
And students don't.
She might jack it in. Which let's go look at the merchant. The merchant, not the merchant. It is actually amazing how many modern surnames derive from medical occupations.
Ah.
Yeah, well, merchant, Paul Merchant, Vivian Merchant. You know the actors?
Of course.
Mm. And their father, Paul Merchant and Vivian Merchant's father, was my old professor when I was an undergraduate. Yeah, his name was Melvin Merchant, and he was a Shakespearean.
There you go.
He wrote a famous book called Shakespeare and the Artist. A merchant was there with a forked beard in Motley, and he on his horse he sat, and Motley means coloured clothing, of course, which became a clown. Clown
okay,
outfit.
Yeah, Motley, yeah.
But I don't think it meant clown.
It's just a status symbol or not. Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah. Well, colours. You know, colours were expensive in the Middle
Ages.
Exactly,
yeah.
Everything was generally drab. If you had.
Sad beige clothes for sad beige children. Don't worry. Then we're going to laugh somewhere in the world.
Okay. Yeah, I need footnotes.
There is a trend at the moment that nurseries and everything are like very beige, and so there's been a bunch of kind of
beige is a nice colour. Like no.
But it's very Norwegian Scandinavian style is in, and so these have been parodied. People do parody ads for sad beige clothes for sad beige children.
IKEA.
Yeah.
So he sits high on his horse. He's got a fine horse. Upon his head a flounderish beaver hat. His boot is clasped fire and fettishly. So again, he's noticing random things about his clothing.
But these are all kind of like, look at me, I have wealth.
Yeah, exactly. It's all display. A beaver hat, you know. Beaver is fur.
The fuck has a beaver hat? But well, of course, I know. Yes, the beaver traded it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, but...
Of course. And flounderish. Flanders was... very rich in this period. It grew rich on the wool trade.
Mm.
Basically, you know, England was exporting raw wool to Flanders because England had lots of sheep, a bit like Australia nowadays.
Mm.
And Flanders made it into expensive clothing and then sold it back to the English. So.
It's with a bit tax, like probably.
Well, that's right. It's a bit like Australia ships out all these precious metals to make iPhones and things, and then buys back the elaborately
sure
made
do.
Products.
Yeah.
Very similar economy. So yes. He's conspicuous display of wealth, not entirely appropriate in the pilgrim either. His boots are clasped, fair and fittingly. His raisons, his back full solemnness, sounding our way the increase of his winning. So his reasons he speak full solemnly, with dignity, with importance. Remember, it can also have that meaning of jollity, but I don't think it does have that here.
Yeah.
He's just a bit self-important.
Right.
You know, he's full of himself. Sooning our way the increase of his winning. Sooning means sounding... proclaiming, you know, harping on always the increase of his profit. So he's got one topic of conversation.
We all know this person.
We do.
Yes,
that's
right.
he willed the sea were kept for anything. So he wants the sea to be protected for anything, you know, from pirates. You think, oh, good. Well, that's
where he's a stock bro, you know.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's got the latest Mercedes or the Tesla or whatever, and he's saying, I made X amount this morning
because
I sold these shares and I did this. Yeah,
that's exactly it. He wore this, he were kept for anything, betwixt a Middleburg Orwell. So between these two towns, Middleburg is in Holland and Orwell is actually, well, it's now drowned, it's now submerged in the River Orwell.
Oh.
But the River Orwell is in Suffolk, and that's where, of course, Eric George, Blair took his name from. Because he was born and brought up partly there.
There you go.
Of course, he went off to Eton, and he went off to a preparatory
that's
school.
That's right, because Orwell's a pseudonym, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a pseudonym, yeah. It's a nom de plume, as the French say. A name of pen. Yeah, Eric Blair. It's not a very promising name, is it? Well, George Orwell. George, of course, the patron saint of England. It's a good, solid name. Georgus, meaning farmer, as you recall from Book One of the Fairy Queen. And Orwell, a lovely English river. So there's a kind of composite Englishness about the name.
It's nice.
It's not that he wants the sea to be clear, as a public-spirited man who thinks pirates are a bad thing. He just wants it to be clear for where his ships go. That narrow passage between Middleburg and Orwell.
Fair enough.
And it's a very clever technique, isn't it? Because the first line proclaims a sort of noble aspiration, and then the second part of the couplet brings it right down with a bump, with bathos.
Yeah.
You know, hang the rest of the sea. It can be infested with pirates. I don't give a toss, as long as my ships are okay.
I mean, that's... We all know this man.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
They are such good portraits of human psychology.
Aren't they?
I think that's
aren't
really
they?
The reality. It doesn't matter whether they're a nun or the, whatever the hell they are. There is an analogue, I think, for every
exactly.
period of human
and
history.
Isn't this a lovely exercise in evolutionary psychology?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Because he's not showing us a bunch of freaks we don't recognise from the Middle Ages, that weird lot.
We know these people.
We know these people. We've met them.
Yeah.
And regretted it. Yes. So, well, could they in exchange shield a seller? So, in fact, well, he was very good at selling French coins, shielders, silver coins. So, in fact, he is your stockbroker that you mentioned on one level.
Yeah.
He's good at foreign exchange.
Well, yeah.
This worthy man. Oh, there we go again.
Wow. I think we're going to have to put $10 in every time.
Yes, or take a drink.
Should do. Give me another 3 months and we should do tequila.
<That's right. laughs> Full well his wit beset. So he employed his wits, his intelligence, his cunning very well. They wist no nicht that he was in debt, that nobody knew. He was so good, he was so clever, you know, and it turns out to be concealing things, that nobody knew he was in debt.
We know this man.
Yes. So estatle was he of his governance. So estatle means, you know, sort of...
Stately?
Yeah, stately. Yeah, something like that. Yes, exactly. Dignified in the conduct of his business, with his bargainers and with his chevisance.
Chevisance. That's what we need to bring back.
Yeah. So it means borrowing and lending, basically.
Mm.
And also, of course, with a hint of usury.
Mm.
Because usury was, of course, as you know... It was very much forbidden in Christianity.
It's so funny, because all of society now...
Yes, depends
completely
on
relies
it.
Upon this.
Yes.
Like,
that's right.
I have a mortgage. I am the victim of usury.
Exactly.
It's just making money out of nothing. It shits me every day.
Yeah, making money out of money.
Yeah. Well.
Because you know, the theory is that the only true source of wealth is God's providence.
Look,
God's
I would
bounty.
Turn Christian in a moment if it got my mortgage.
That's right.
If that's what it takes, sure, sign me up.
That's right. But it was felt to be un-Christian. You know, if your neighbour comes around and says, "Can I borrow a cup of sugar?" You give them a cup of sugar. Now, when they come back with a cup of sugar, you don't say, "No, I want 10% extra sugar."
Yeah.
Because you've had the use of it all this time. Because you weren't using it anyway, and therefore...
Because you didn't fucking have it.
Yes. So, they didn't really understand how money works. I mean, who does? And so, they didn't understand that usury was the... kind of backbone of commerce.
Yeah.
Of capitalism. Because capitalism is very much in its kind of, it's like Sylvie at present, you know.
Just learning to look at light.
Yes, exactly.
Leaves are pretty.
Exactly. Very, very early. You know, again, the idea is that usury is getting money without risking anything, without doing anything, you know. So there was a let out. And the merchant would have very much exploited this. You could demand sort of extra interest, if you like, on a loan if you partook in the risk. And of course, trade was very risky, particularly, of course, trade to far parts of the world, like, you know, which was only just beginning here. Because you could be attacked by pirates, your ships could sink, you know.
So you paid interest on your loan in case that happened.
Well, you could demand interest on your loan
based on
if you were risking. That's kind of insurance.
Yeah.
You're risking everything. You're putting 10,000 guilders on this speculative voyage to Africa.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was okay.
What was the justification for
But just sitting there in your counting house demanding 10% on 10,000 guilders that you've just lent to somebody, that was immoral.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, that's what they saw.
Still is.
I mean, well, it's right. But now it's standard procedure. And of course we remember that Dante has a special place in hell.
For bankers. For usury, yeah.
Bankers and sodomites.
Of course.
Because they're both, they're similar in that they are both rejecting great creating nature. They're rejecting God's benevolence, you know. So they're using sex for non-creative purposes.
And using money for, and
they're making money out of money, not out of wheat and corn and oil and sheep and all the lovely
work,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good for the soul.
Well, that too, yes.
There's some good truths in this.
Yeah, well, yeah,
good
exactly.
For the soul. Yeah,
so
healing.
If you're a gay banker, you're really fucked.
You've been waiting 40 years.
So, actually, the next one it will appeal to you, but we probably don't have time for it today.
Oh, the clerk. I'm going to enjoy that one, am I?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
No, the clerk, he's handled very...
Oh, because the clerk's kind of a scholar, isn't he?
He's a kind of ideal.
No, I'm going to enjoy him.
Yeah.
No.
With his bargainers and with his chevisons. For Soth he was a worthy man with Allah. But, so, he was a worthy man. But Soth to sign a not hominem kala. I can't remember what he's called. So, after all that self-importance...
Yeah. Well...
Even Jeff can't remember this man's name. He's such a nonentity. He's so puffed up, you know.
Real estate agents is what it's reminding me of, with their stupid cars and their... Yeah.
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Yeah.
You wonder how Jeff found out he was in debt. I mean, in a sense, that's implausible for the structure, but it's such a nice detail that you forgive it, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to tell Jeff.
And Jeff certainly wouldn't be able to figure it
out. No.
We shall not credit Jeff with intelligence at that level.
Not.
He's the young uni student off on his first backpacking trip.
Yes.
Just when everyone he meets is impressive.
So impressed by everything.
Yeah.
All bright colours.
Yeah.
Yes.